No, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love and Thy kindness. We thank You that You had a special place for us in Your mind before the world ever started, Father. We're thankful that we can come before You in prayer. We appreciate the greatness You are, the holiness that You are. We appreciate the uprightness that You are. Father, we just want these prayer requests to be taken in a serious manner, but more than anything, we want Your will to be done in our lives. Father, we also just want to preach the word today that everybody might see the uniqueness of Your book and the greatness of Your plan and the simple salvation You have in Christ. Father, we're incredibly blessed to be here today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I appreciate y'all praying with us on the internet too. I know I get calls and emails say, we pray when you pray. But you just pray even if I don't pray, you just keep praying. Pray without ceasing. So we were talking about in the first session, and if you just joined us on the internet, I'll bring you up to speed, about that there's only one means to get into Christ and only one means to be forgiven. And that is the gospel of Christ and the one baptism of 1 Corinthians 12:13. But having said that, I want to start with the foundation, the gospel of God. And the gospel of God has nothing to do with legalism or grace or any of that. The gospel of God is a very simple gospel. It's what Paul was separated on. He said in Romans chapter 1, I was separated on the gospel of God. And on and on. And Mark 16 says, he asked Peter, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's really the gospel of God. It is the foundation. If Jesus Christ, the good news of God, was mentioned in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 3. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we have talked about the gospel of God. I'm going to get some of the others here. I just want to... Go to Matthew chapter 3, please. Verse 16. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon Him. Colon. You notice the colon? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You see that? That's the gospel of God. This is my Son. And He proved that He was the Son of God. How? By the resurrection. That's how He proved it. So the gospel of God, the foundation to the entire basic Bible, but I'm only doing the New Testament here, is the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? That Christ is the Son of the living God. Put Matthew 16 in there, right by Romans, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and put Matthew 16. And then turn there real quick. Yeah. Matthew 16:16 reads like this, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see that? You see, the gospel of God is a foundation. But I want you to understand, remember we were talking about believing certain things. Well, you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and end up in hell. Y'all understand? You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and end up in hell. That's a fact. How many people do you think believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? A lot. How many do you think that might still be lost? A lot. So you got the gospel of God being preached, that this is the Son of God. In fact, that's what John was proclaiming. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the gospel of God. That was no mystery. God had prophesied that His Son was going to come. Amen? You say, where? Isaiah. Look in Isaiah. Oh, thank God that thing kicked in. I was burning up here. Isaiah 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Well, who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. On and on. Hey, the one was coming was His Son. One was coming was going to be well-pleasing unto Him. Gospel of God. Go back to Matthew. And turn to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Now watch this, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when He called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at what? So you got the gospel of the what? Kingdom being preached. It's before His cross. He told him to go out and preach this gospel. He couldn't be preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't known. Tells him to go out and preach this gospel. What gospel? Gospel of the kingdom. What is it? Well, let's see. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet a staff, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, I can tell you, they're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, but they are preaching a gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel is just as real to a Jew. You know, I got on that thing about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that there's no Jews that expected to go to heaven. Remember that series we did? It's on the internet if you want to watch it. There's not a Jew. When Lazarus was raised up while Jesus walked on earth, he did not freak out when he came out of the grave and say, "What? I'm still all on earth? I didn't go to heaven?" No, he didn't. He came out like it was normal. Isn't that weird? And that's what they'd heard their whole life. They were going to inherit the earth. Why? The good news about that kingdom is it was coming. And it was coming here on earth. We sing those songs. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That song really has nothing to do with the body of Christ. It has to do with the new city, Jerusalem, coming down to earth, and that's what cleaves the mountain to the east and to the west. You all got it? The hope of Israel was there was a kingdom being established. The one we read about in Isaiah 9. Verse 6 and 7. That kingdom. They didn't look at the Messiah as, "Oh, great, he's going to die for my sins." They thought there was going to be a fountain open to the house of David. As in the promise of Zechariah. Go to Matthew, back up two books toward the front. You'll go through Malachi and go to Zechariah. Go to Matthew, back toward the front of the book, two books, Malachi, Zechariah. Zechariah 13, verse 1, "In that day," when the kingdom come, "in that day, there should be a fountain opened for the house of who? For the house of David, and the inhabitants of what?" Did that include everybody? No, it didn't. They thought there was going to be a fountain open that they had to get to the kingdom. That's why Peter thought, "Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Why? Because that's where Israel was going to get the atonement. They weren't worried about the crucifixion. They didn't even know it was coming. He tried to explain to them that it was coming. And they didn't get it. How are preachers preaching today out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like he knew the cross was going to happen? Look in Zechariah 14:4. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem." And I'd put Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through about 10. Right there, if I was you. He said, "Why do you men stand gazing up into heaven? The same that was taken from you will be returned in like manner." His feet are going to touch the earth again. It's about the kingdom. Y'all with me? It's about that kingdom. On earth. Physically coming back to set up a kingdom here on earth. That's the good news of the kingdom. That isn't good news for you. It's good news, just not good news for you. One, like 6 through 10. Yeah. So, go back to Matthew and go to Matthew 24. Verse 13. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, what happens if you don't endure? There isn't any eternal security. I put Hebrews 6, 1 through 4. And I'd compare it to Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, if I was you. If I was a Bible student, that's what I would put down. I don't repeat unless you got $5. You got $5? Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. You know what Romans 8, 38 and 39 says? Huh? Can anybody tell us? And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things on and on shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Hey, you can't get separated from Christ. If you're in Christ, you've already been resurrected sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You see, guys, if you listen and believe the wrong gospel, you can believe the Bible and end up in hell. People say, well, how is that? Because there's multiple gospels in the Bible. Which one's for the Gentiles? See, you've got to start defining what God wants. Verse 20, for verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. You see that? What are they preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The kingdom. What other gospel are they preaching? They're preaching these two gospels, aren't they? Can you preach one without the other? Not really. And then after the cross, Jesus Christ dies. Well, Peter starts preaching right after the cross, right? He preaches right after the cross. What is he telling them? Well, go to Acts chapter 2. Brother, I'm going to have to get you up and preach. You're ready, I think. You feel like you're ready? Huh? You? Larry will never be ready. For all you health nut out here, this is for you. Preacher, drink water. Oh, I wouldn't drink those evil things. So they put 2 gallons of coffee in themselves, like somehow that's healthy. And 4 pounds of sugar. I'll eat four donuts back in the back and 4 cups of coffee. Oh, you're drinking a Diet Coke. Yep. You're right. Have you looked in the mirror? No. Acts 2. Y'all there? Uh, 14. Now watch this. Very careful who Peter's talking to. Peter standing up with the 11. How many does that make? That's 12. Lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Okay? Who's he talking to? Yeah, Jews, the men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem. 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Who's he talking to? Israel. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. Now we've got the gospel of God definitely being preached here, amen? Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speak concerning him, I forsaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? Because he didn't leave the Holy One to see corruption. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Something was added to the gospel of the kingdom. What was added? The gospel of the circumcision. What was added to that?
The gospel of God.
Well, it was mixed in, but it was a proof text that that was the Son of God that ye by wicked hands have taken and crucified, right? But what? He raised him up again. So the question then comes in, what must we do to be saved? Right? That would be, okay, we did. We've taken him and crucified him. What do we do? Look in verse 37. Now when they, who's the they? The men of Israel, let all the house of Israel know certainly, them that are Judah and Jerusalem. You got it? That's the they. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's what Peter said. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did he say forgiveness? When were their sins going to be remitted? When the fountain was open. Amen? Zechariah 13, verse 1, and Zechariah 14, 4. You got it? He's saying, look, if you will do what? Repent and be, then you'll get the baptism of the what? And what is he going to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Gather it into a what? Garner. The wheat. You with me? So he's saying, look, you can be saved if you believe this and repent of killing them. They still had to do all the gospel kingdom stuff, enduring to the end, sell out, all in all. Right? And come follow me. Well, what do? They do all those things. What are the list of things they told them to do? Sell out. Where? Come on, where did they sell them to sell out? No, come on, more than that. Matthew, write these things down. You're not going to remember. You need to write them down. Every man in here ought to be able to preach this message. Matthew 6, verse 19. Where your treasury be, there will your heart be also. Luke 12. Anybody give me the verse? 33. Write these things down, boys and girls. Matthew 19, 16 through 23 thereabouts. Acts 4 and Acts 2 here where he's talking about. Sell out. They were told to sell out. Guess what they did? You know, if we were an Acts 2 church, for you to be saved, you have to sell out. You got it? You'd have to be baptized in water. Mark 16, shout them out to me. He sent them forth to go out to baptize. Matthew chapter 4. Baptism. Required. A must. Under the gospel of the kingdom. It's, you know, we haven't got to the gospel of Christ. We're over here. And that's exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2 all the way through is this list of stuff. Repent or endure. Matthew 24:14. Can you get a close up on that? Okay. You know, you have to endure unto the end. What happens if you don't endure? You're not going to be saved. That's where all that confusion is. Are you doing enough for Christ? And all that is that treadmill of the gospel of the kingdom. You can believe the gospel of the kingdom until hell freezes over and you will not go into heaven. Ever. Ever, forever. Never. You'll never get in. And you're not going to go in the kingdom either. Can't you see how damnable this stuff can get? If you're preaching the wrong gospel, you can be sending people to hell. People say, well, I'll just go to any brain surgeon. I doubt it. You'll probably pick out one that knows what he's doing. Yet when we come to churches, it's like, I like that pastor. Yes, but he's been lying. Oh, welcome. We are so glad you're here today. Well, let's pass the play. It'll make you feel better. You know what? When I got Tony to get that paid, I saw people's faces freak out. There are going to be some of you who will be grabbing your money out of your dead, palmy hands when it comes. Let go! I'm dead, but I'm not letting go. He tells them to do what? Keep the commandments. Where's the verse? All of these things you need to have written down. Why? Hey, what are you believing? What is it you believe? I used to believe that Jesus was God. I used to believe that He died on a cross. But I got saved when I finally heard the gospel of Christ, and that is that He died for all of my sins. And I rested in that. Different. Problem is there's multiple gospels. People say it's one Bible, one gospel. That's a lie. That's not true. If they would, they'd all have the same names. Amen? Does the gospel of God sound like the gospel of the kingdom? And does the gospel of the kingdom sound like the gospel of the grace of God? It doesn't sound the same to me. That's interesting. You got money?
Now, was the Holy Spirit allowing them to do all of these things? Is that
the yeah, they do them.
I mean, but what is the role of the filling of the Holy Spirit?
What?
Explain to me what the filling of the Holy Spirit has to do with it.
Well,
does that allow them to do all of these things?
It does. It's an unction. So they have the ability to do that. I mean, we saw some people that sold out and kept back part. You know, that's in the Bible, Ananias. You don't really see anyone. They were baptized, I'm sure, at that point. So baptism doesn't save you. This one doesn't. The one baptism we were describing earlier, that's the only one that can save you. This one couldn't save you because they had that one and ended up being in judgment. Endure, keep the commandments, come follow me. And they had to believe. What? Yeah, they had to believe the gospel of God. and on and on. So those things they did in the gospel of the kingdom, but they got a promise here that if they believed that, they would get the what? Holy Spirit, which you were talking about earlier, that would help them endure. You know what? Nobody's preaching that exactly right. Did anybody ever hear that when they were in Sunday school? No. That's weird, isn't it? We just sat there and we listened and we believed. But you know what? We didn't get the clarity of what's going on. And then you got to ask yourself, okay, he had 12 men in Acts chapter 2. Why does he need one more? I mean, that in itself doesn't make sense. Amen? If we're all believing the same gospel, you're telling me the 12 men aren't going to be able to do by just adding one more? Leave in them all. Absolutely. Listen, all of a sudden you got to start asking yourself, God, why one more man? Well, he was for you. But more than that, he had something that was a mystery. And it was the gospel of Christ. Now, the good news of God was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The gospel of the kingdom is that he's going to set up that kingdom down on the earth. The gospel of the circumcision is it's for you Jews. And all of a sudden, a man shows up and his name is Saul. And they change his name to Paul and he becomes the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul has a mystery that hadn't been seen at all. Nobody knew about it. Not at all.
When was his name changed?
Probably his first conversion in Acts 13 where he saves the Governor Paulus. And he took on his first name, but there's... I can't tell you. I mean, you know, you hear all this stuff and you can read the books and repeat what they told you. I know that it was changed after that. A lot of people believe he took on the name of his first convert. I don't know. But the good news of Christ is the most remarkable thing when you really think about it for just a minute. Because if you think about how the priests function and when they knew things and when they didn't know things is really important. So I'm going to draw out the temple. Can everybody see up here? Can everybody in the audience see that? You would bring an animal, and the very first thing you'd see is the 5x5x5 fire. Behind that would be the laven. Huh? The burnt offering goes here. And then they had the showbread, the altar of prayer or incense, and the candlestick. And in here, the holies of holies. That's where the blood had to go in order to get forgiveness. Y'all with me? The priest would meet them at the gate, take their blood offering, and they would watch it burn. Got it? After that, they could watch the priest go back and he would wash himself in the laven and then enter in. Once he entered in there, you couldn't see him anymore. You didn't know whether the sins were going to be forgiven until that priest came all the way back out. You would know. He could have been consumed. When did the priest... Poof.
I was thinking that they wouldn't know it that day.
No. Well, they don't know it until 7 months later, actually. But the point that I want you to make is Paul got, while Jesus was in the holies of holies, called down to Paul and said, I can tell you something that Israel won't know until this point of time when I come back, that your sins have been forgiven. Their sins were forgiven too. They just weren't going to know about it until the second coming. And so God kept it a secret, a mystery. You say, how important is that? Very. Why? For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God kept this gospel quiet. Well, you can't get saved by the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of God. But does the gospel of God have to be here for this to work? Yes, 100%. So you can't believe the gospel of Christ without believing the gospel of God. They're inseparable to us. Y'all with me? One gospel that saves. But you know what's fascinating about the whole thing? And I'm running out of time. I'm going to speed up. Paul preached more than just a few gospels. He preached the gospel of Christ, which is in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at it for me. Verse 1. Here's the gospel. People want to know what gospel saves you? This will do you pretty well. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. You ought to underline that. The gospel. You see that? Which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Going to be saved? Shall be? Are. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. When was the earliest he could have got it? Acts 9. When was the first time it looked like he preached it? Acts 13. Now, am I saying that's the first time he ever mentioned it out of his mouth? But publicly in the Bible, when was the first time? That's right. Is there any evidence of anyone else hearing it? No. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Thank God. Amen. Can someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right. I heard Debbie coming across pretty loud there. She must be a real sinner. That's right. He died for our sins. Amen.
Amen.
And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What was that? That was the gospel of Christ and the gospel of God mixed. What was it? What was the mystery that Christ died for our sins? Did they already know about the death, burial, and resurrection? But they didn't know the mystery, for had they known it... Are you with me so far? Everybody with me? Well, the gospel of Christ is a mystery, and it is the only gospel that saves. And you know what? Most people, it's still a mystery today. You know what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are
lost.
But that isn't the only gospel that Paul preached. He preached the gospel of peace. Look in Romans chapter 10. We're going to run out of time. We make that just up. If we run out of time, don't worry. We'll finish this next Sunday. That's okay with y'all. That way I can do a little bit more detailed deal, but we'll get a couple of these in. Verse 15. How shall they that preach, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. That word glad tidings, by the way, is gospel. Of good things, glad tidings of good things. What was the gospel of peace? Yeah, God's not mad at you anymore. Have you ever asked someone to church and said, "Oh, I can't go. God would lightning bolt me." Well, they haven't got the gospel of peace. What do you mean? Why would God do that? He sent His Son to die for you. He's already done all that to His Son that you might have peace. Why would you say that about your God? You see? The gospel of peace is God's not mad at you anymore. See, I used to be an enemy of God. But I've been reconciled by the death of His Son. I'm at peace with God. I'm not in struggle with God. God's not mad at me. I'm sure He shakes His head a few times. But He ain't mad at me. I ain't an enemy of God. I've been reconciled. You know what? I'm always amazed at Christians that hold grudges. How can they be a Christian if they hold a grudge? I mean, think about it. I don't like that person. Really? I've had people, honestly, in this ministry over the last 22 years. Amen, that's true. I've had people honestly think I'm trying to do something. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and get their feet established in the book. Why are they mad at me? Why would they get mad at me? So I don't like Barry's personality. He's like a real jerk. Amen. The Bronx, now quit laughing. She finds that hard to believe, I know.
And you don't walk over.
Well, only in my bathroom, but you all understand, listen, I'm not any good. It ain't about me. Why are you all so frustrated at me? So I wish he'd straighten out. We'd have more people if he'd had a better attitude. Okay, let me tell you. You guys are hard to live with like a mean dog. But you know what? I love you and preach the gospel to you anyway.
That's right.
See, it works the other way too, doesn't it? You know what? If you've got the gospel of peace, you're not mad at people. You're trying to win them to the Lord, guys. You're trying to get them saved. Why are they mad at me? Because I'm human? That's true. You know what? Barry's a stinker. Everybody say that. I heard you say that really loud. How old are you? 35? How old is she? 8? When is your 8th birthday? Oh, next Sunday. Yours is next Sunday. Yours is Wednesday. You were a liar. I believed you. There isn't any good. But you know what? I've got peace with God. You know what? I've been reconciled. I was an enemy of God. You say, well, how bad are you? Yeah, that's me. I'm an enemy. I'm as sorry as the day is long. Brother, Jim still is. And you know what? I've been gathered in peace. I've been preached the gospel of peace. You know, you don't have to run anymore. You can stop. It reminded me of that young kid running through the cemetery. And a ghost started chasing him. The faster he'd run, the faster that ghost would run. That little kid just wore out, sat down on a bench. Finally, that ghost caught up with him and sits next to him. And they're both just huffing and puffing. And that ghost looked at that young boy and said, "You know what? We've sure done some running." And that boy looked at him and said, "Just as soon as I catch my breath, we're going to do some more too." I'm not running anymore. I'm at peace. He ain't out to get me. He let my Savior die in my stead. That's what it's all about. So how come we can't all live peacefully? Why is there contention between blacks and whites and females and males and gays and heterosexual? Ain't none good. They all need the same thing I needed. I needed a Savior. Thank God I got a Savior. And you know, when you start to look at there's quite a few Gospels we're going to build on this section right here. The reason I did the Gospel of Christ is the fact that He died for your sins, but the Gospel of Peace second is not because it's second in order, but second because it's the most predominant. It is the ministry, as Terry said well. It's the reconciliation of God. He's reconciled you to Himself, not imputing your trespasses unto you, and hath committed unto you the ministry of reconciliation. You know, when you start to stack up what the Gospels are here, and then you go over here, it wouldn't be a very hard decision for most people to say, "I don't know what they have, but I want that." Y'all understand? They wouldn't want to go back here anymore. If this thing is preached correctly, if you show people correctly, they should not desire the wrong thing. All right, I'm out. It's 12 o'clock. Any questions? 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21.